Since you have the Gemara in front of you now. Remember that the Gemara presents three different okimtot related to... Oh, I'm in Svardi today. Okay. Three different... I never know what it's going to be, right? Okay. Three different hypotheses as to how or attempts to place the Mishnah within context. What's the Mishnah? Beit Shanol Daviyomto, Beit Shammai Amrim Teyachel, Beit Silla Amrim Lo Teyachel. So the Gemara presents these three different setups. Amar Rabba, Li'olam B'tar Golos Ometis L'Achila. So we're talking about a chicken that is set aside for food. U'Viyomto Shechali Yosachar Shabbos Askina N'Mishum Hachana. So what happened is that the egg was prepared in Rabba's Perush. Beis Hillel prohibits the egg Mishum Hachana, since the egg had to be prepared within the chicken's body on the previous day. So we have a situation in which Hachana de Rabba applies. Ukisavar Rabba, called Beitza Demisi Alda Ha'idna, Me'asmol Gemara Lav. For Rabba, Litame, Damar Rabba, Mai Dichsiv, So the Gemara, the Baalei HaSugya, see in Rabba's Okimta coherence or consistency with his general Svara or his general Shita related to Hachana. In Rav Yosef's Perish, Beis Hillel prohibits the egg Mishum Gezera. Remember, we went through this quickly last time. Rav Yosef Amar Gezerah Mishum Peros HaNoshrim. So this egg that's serendipitously been laid on Yom Tov is akin to or analogous to fruits that fall from a tree. And Abaye notes that the reason is lest someone ascend the tree to pluck the fruit. Right? Amar Abaye Peros HaNoshrim Tamamai Gezerah Shema Yala B'Yislosh. And this raises an obvious question. So by instituting the prohibition against an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, lest someone reason from the egg to peros that fall, which are themselves asserting due to gezerah, we're left with a gezerah to a gezerah, right? Answer: no. The original gezerah included everything in it. Peros and the egg, that is natural products that become available on a Yom Tov. Just redefine it, okay? Now, Gemara offers this third setup that Beis Hillel prohibits the egg mishum gzeira mishum mashkin shezavu. So this prompts the same question from Abaye and the same answer. Right. So we now have three different explanations of why the egg is prohibited. For Rabba, by the way, it's asur minatorah, right? Hachana the Rabba, it's the pasuk. Since it falls under this prohibition of being mechnin from a Shabbos to a Yom Tov. Then we have Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, both who see it as part of a larger gezerah, but that would make it still only the Rabbanan, right? Okay. What's the Gemara looking for? Harmonization. If I had to summarize what Gemara is, it's harmonization. Going to harmonize these three opinions against the Braisa. Three opinions to explain what the mission is. They have to be consistent with the Braisa. For the Amoraim to be coherent, they should be consistent. Meisved. Echad beitza shenolda b'Shabbos v'echad beitza shenolda b'Yom Tov ein mital talinosa. So whether it was born on late on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you can't move it. Lo lechasofa sakli, lo lismokba kareya mita, aval kofa aleh sakli, bishvil shaloti shaver. You can put a bowl over it, the thing is safe. Usveka asura, but it's, and its suffek is asur, rinis arva be'elav kulan asuras. So the suffek clause is the Gemara's opportunity to differentiate among the three Amoraim, since, as you know, we just said, right, only one of them holds that it's the Araisa. So if it's Sveika Asura, that would seem to be support for Rabba, right? You're just getting, we're reading the Gemara not so deeply, but for structure, so to speak. Okay? Bishlama l'rabba demar mishum hachana habi sveka d'araisa. The whole sveka d'araisa l'chumra. Ela l'rab Yosef ul'rab Yitzchak de'amrei mishum gezeira sveka d'rabbanan hi v'chol sveka d'rabbanan l'kula. So what do they say? No, the Braisa is talking about something else. That clause isn't the same clause as the Beit Sheshanoda B'Shabbos. You're talking about the a suffix in an egg is sefer atan l'suffix trefa. The Gemara answers that you don't need to explain the Braisa as talking about a single Iser all the way through. Now, shot-wise, of course, you would say, if you're going to, you're on a desert island, you have just this price, so you're going to explain it. You're not going to say it's talking about suffix trefa, are you? You're going to say, look, it's Beit Sheshanol Dabi Yom Tov, Beit Sheshanol Dabi Shab, you know, Achad, Beit Sheshanol Dabi Yom Tov, Shabbos, Beit Sheshanol Dabi Yom Tov. You're going to say that it's talking about one thing. But could the brisa be rendered coherent? Even though that wouldn't have occurred to us, can the brisa sustain that explanation? Right? And the answer is yes. The sefer, the brisa, the suffix clause is talking not about an egg that was suffix laid on Yom Tov, suffix laid on Shabbos or Chol, but an egg that was laid by a suffix trefa. So that then explains the brisa as a collection of halachos with one topic, an egg, right? The topic, the organizing principle, the brisa, is that all the Isurim mentioned in it don't pertain to an egg that was laid on Shabbos Yom Tov, but pertain to an egg. Okay? Gemara says, okay, let's test the brisa's next clause. So, ihafi, ema seifa, nis arva ve'elef kulan asuros. I amrat bishlama safek Yom Tov, safek chol, habi davar sheyesh lo matirin. V'chol davar sheyesh lo matirin, afilu ve'elef lo batil. So there, agav urcha, and we get the principle, right? So it says, the next clause, it says, if it was mixed up with 1,000 other eggs, I could say it's not betela, because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin, and we can just wait until after Shabbos Yom Tov. Ela, I amrat safek trefa, davar she'ein lo matirin, v'ti batel beruba, it should be batel. So the problem with the suffix trefa explanation for the sveka asura clause of the brisa is that it doesn't leave us an explanation of the next section of that clause. Namely, that if there's a suffix, it isn't batel. A suffix trefa would be batela berov min haTorah or midrabbanan. If we left the brisa talking about a single isur in the egg and made the suffix whether it was laid on a Yom Tov, then the sefer, the suffix clause, would make sense. The egg would be a davar sheyesh lo matirin, a thing that has a path of least resistance that'll make it heter, and we know anything with such a quality is not batel afilu midrabbanan. We don't know why, but we know that that's the case. And that's what they're making reference to. So the Gemara has introduced in Beitza as a davar yadua that a davar sheyesh lo matirin is not batel. Okay? So you can learn the rest of the sugya if you haven't learned Beitza before. But for our purposes, I just want to see the halacha conclusion that's brought in the name of by Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi Amar, Li'olam Safek Yom Tov Safek Chol Habe Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin V'Chol Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin Afilu B'Dvar Rav Ashi Lo Batel. Okay? Now, let's note parenthetically here something which we got out of this. The suffix trefa is not a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Okay? Why not? If it was, we wouldn't have had the question from Bitul in the sefer of the brisa, right? So the Gemara insists that the explanation that the suffix that is a surah, if it was then mixed with others, cannot be a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Let's make certain we understand what kind of case we're talking about here, right? a chicken is a suffek treifa. It will eventually become clear whether the chicken is a treifa or not, either in that it will lay eggs in the future, or it will be shechted, and we'll know for certain because we'll look inside. Right? The Rashba is cited lehalacha in Seif Beis to the effect that such a case is not a davar sheish lamatirin for one reason and one reason only. The Isur doesn't follow for certain like Chol follows Yom Tov. So, davar sheish lamatirin means not that it's only contingently usur and it could be resolved later. It means it has to follow necessarily. And I think you have the words of the Rashba from the Torah Sabayis in your Makoros there. Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's read it. The Afal Pi She'ein Mamri Zeh Kolel Iser Mukze V'Nolad Yeshlan L'Lachkor V'Ladas Beitze Shal Safek Treifa Shnis Arba Bacheros V'Dayna Tarnagolas Kayemes Mahu Lefisha Amru B'Perek Elu Treifos Shichlekama Mashinan Lehu V'Hi Hadra Tana Akhrin. I'm going to explain it in a second. Sharyan ulefichach tzrichin anu ladas im nidon osa kadaver sheish lo matirin in love v'chein adin legvina shegivnu osa make chalav safek treifa shinis arba b'chayros v'adayna behema kayemes ulai teleid otisha yudbeis chodesh v'chein kol kayotze b'zeh umistaber shalom amru davar sheish lo matirin afilu b'davar shahamatir atid lavo b'vadai should be adola hatiro al kol panim. So this is a great opportunity to learn a little treifas. Okay, something I miss doing here in the yeshiva. Not that any of you will ever have to deal with a shayla, but I heard Rav Shlomo Riskin once tell the story that a woman brought him a chicken like they did in Europe to check if it was kosher. So he was puzzled when he couldn't find the tag from Empire. That's the way he tells the story. Rabosai, there are many reasons to learn Torah that we won't be called upon to use in Psak directly. First and foremost, it's Torah, and we never get a full picture until we see it in its full manifestation. Right? Something many Yidden are never privileged to do. Second, and an outgrowth of the first point, we're lomdim davar mitoch davar. Although you may not be called upon to use such knowledge directly, every halacha potentially informs the entire system, right? Okay. Third, and I can't stress this enough, you do want to link yourself with the community of rabbinic Torah learners throughout the generations so that we can contribute to their Melechus HaKodesh. There were never Rabbani Morei Tzedek who were not B'nei Bayis B'chol Chadrei HaTorah. So in order to understand them and therefore aspire to draw from them, we need to experience the Torah that they experience, keep you whole, right? Lahavdil. Doctors may not use microbiology or organic chemistry in their professional practice, but it's a rite of passage in the medical community to have completed such studies, I think. The analogy is less important than the observation about Rabbanus and the internal community of Torah learners that we want to be part of. By the way, there's a wonderful Reb Chaim on the Rambam tied to the Gemara in Eilat Dreyfus. The Avnei Nezer, the Chidushei Agriz, the Kovet Shmuos, the great Achronim of just a few generations ago, from whose waters we drink, they're all engaged in a conversation about that Gemara. It's on Chulin Daf Nun Nun Ches Amud Aleph. I thought long and hard about learning some of this today because we want to be part of the conversation, and it's a wonderful one, just a little bit. A shichle is the batch of eggs that comes out from one pregnancy, so to speak. Anyone here to Shnayim Mikra V'Chad Targum? Okay, so when Bas Paro names Moshe Rabbeinu, she does so ki min hamayim mishitihu. So the Targum translates that, arai min maya shechalti. The word shachal in Aramaic means to slip out in the simple tense and to draw out in the active one. So it's what the Targum uses, that word shin cheslamid for masha, right? The better word in English for a shichla, by the way, is a clutch. That's what it's called. Anybody here a farmer? Meaning that all the eggs laid by one bird or reptile at a single time. So we can translate here, the first clutch of eggs after a bird is injured and becomes a trepha are asuros. Okay, that's the Gemara there that I just quoted. So Abaye maintains that ubar yerech imo. You've heard that expression, right? So a fetus is a part of the mother's body. And therefore, if she's trepha, it's a organ of a trepha, right? Okay, and itself a sura. Subsequent eggs, however, are considered on the basis of the non-trepha rooster that impregnated her, since zev zeh gore. That's what the Gemara says. What's the difference between the first batch? They were already in her body when she became injured, and a trepha. When the rooster impregnates her as a trepha, it's zev zeh gore. So if you're interested in a clear explanation of the difference between the two cases, you can take Achidushei Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi on Ma'acholos Asuras Perek Shlishi Halacha Yud Aleph for the confrontation between Yerech Ubar Imo and the principle Zev Zeh Gorei. It's a beautiful Reb Chaim. Our interest here, however, is in the Rashba's citation of the Gemara. We're missing information that may be clarified later. Why not just wait to see the next batch of eggs? Since that information has the potential to render these no longer Safeg Isur, there's a potential matir, can I make the pun, in the wings, right? Okay. Why then doesn't the Gemara consider Safeg Beitzas Trefa a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin in the Sugya in Beitza? Why does it have to go back to Safeg Nolda B'Yomtov in order to introduce the notion of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin? So the Rashba here provides the answer. You have it right in front of you in Torah Sabayis. In order to be a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, the Matirin cannot be contingent upon something uncertain happening. It has to be something that happens automatically or is completely within one's power to effect with a certain result. The Safek Beitz Estrefa has potential matirin. The outcome, however, is uncertain. The fowl may be proven to be a trefa, or it may not. If it's a trefa now, it may in the future heal. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says in the Gemara, citing from Elo Trefas, Halacha Trefa Yoledes Omishabas. The halacha is that a trefa can not only produce offspring, but it can improve physically. But there are no guarantees. The uncertain nature of the matirin makes it not count. The matirin of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin must be Vadai Obiyado. Those are the two characteristics that the Rashba gives there. So the Rashba mentions another din in Trefos that we should also know. It's right there. It comes on the same Amud where Maimar's words begin. And you'll find, if you want to look it up later, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Amar Rav Huna, Siman L'Trefesh Shnei Sar Kodesh. So the test for a trefa is whether it survives 12 months. This means when an animal has been injured, and we don't know the extent of the injuries, if the injury, however, is clear and such that it would disqualify the animal, then there's no point in waiting the 12 months to lose anything, right, to see anything. So we should be aware, by the way, that the Rashba has wider implications. It plays a major role in the defining discussion of Sveika D'Oraisa L'Chumra, particularly in the Shari Yosher.
Just regarding Suffolk Trefa, is it only a Suffolk Trefa once we know that an action has happened to the chicken that's made it a Suffolk Trefa?
Every animal starts out the
Cheskas Kashrus. Oh, it does.
Yeah, for that regard. Because we say, Rove Behemos Ksherosin. Okay? So, now, I'm not getting involved with the milk discussion.
I got that from last week's answer.
Yeah.
But I'm just confused in terms of...
I discovered that that sheet is so prevalent that Starbucks now sells soy milk also.
And it's part of it.
That's why.
With the Walden Machmirin. Okay? Okay?
So one has to see the action, or one has to know that animal...
If the chicken is just kvetching and complaining to you, that has an injury, I have to tell you, chickens generally are kvetches. Okay? Okay? You can quote me. All right. Okay? Now, I'd like to look at this, by the way. I'm going a little bit into this because I think it's very interesting. The Shari Yosher opens the Sefer with the Rashba's words from this section of the Torah Sabayis. These are not just, you know, coincidental words. Mistabra li d'kshe amru sveka d'yaraisa l'chumra d'var torahu d'sveka d'yaraisa b'vadai mina torah. So it makes sense to me, the Shari Yosher says, based on everything I know, or the Rashba says, that a Torah suffek is usher mina the Torah and it's a vadai. What he means by this is not only that the principle of sveka d'yaraisa l'chumra is mina Torah, but that the Torah itself treats it like a Vada Yisur. Okay? The Rashba goes on to cite the Rambam, who's the other side of the Machlokas. That is only Chazal who require us to be Machmirim in a Sveka D'Oraisa. Okay? This is like the Ikar B'Shivish Torah. Right? So the Shari Yosha explains the concept, and then in Perek Shmini writes the following. Okay? And I think I've provided this for you. He first summarizes the Rashba. B'zeh yisbar lanu mashakasav a Rashba. And this, by the way, is relevant for Siman Kaf Kuf 120. B'zeh yisbar lanu mashakasav a Rashba. Huva the halacha b'shulchan aruch yoredei a Siman Kaf Beis b'safek beitz as treifa our Siman. Shinis arev delo have davar sheish lamatirin. Mishum de'ein hamatir asid lavo bivadai yuyanshan. Go look there. Hainu, dim yamtin achi yasil atardagolas latil beitzin, visparer shehu ubeitz asak shera, v'az yiyeh heter, shalomi din bitol, mipnei zeh hayaraui lios kedavar sheyesh lamatirin, because I could wait and eat it more, you know, not because of bitol, right? Which is apparently might be suboptimal. Delob ella mipnei she ain usi labo vaday shema lo yavo lidei beirur mishum hachi eino chashu kedavar sheyesh lo matirin v'zeh tochen din zeh. It's a pretty good summary by the Shari Yosher. Pretty good summary of the Rashba's opinion. Okay. V'lich orahu tamua de davar sheyesh lo matirin eino nikra ella imakshavu davar ha'aser v'charkach yoser ha'isur. It'll become permitted. V'hacha b'safek treifa lo shayachinyan zekla l'din sheyesh l'matirin. The egg we're discussing, he says, cannot be a davar sheyesh l'matirin because to be so would have to be us or now. A davar sheyesh l'matirin is not a safek. It's something that's vaday aser, would normally be batel, except that we know that the iser would go away on its own or through our simple intervention. This doesn't apply if the object isn't vadayis already, and this one isn't. Dim treifahi liolam iser ze lo yutar dim kshera mitchila meolam lo nesra. Right? Makes sense? Okay. In this case, the object's either usr or mutter. The problem we have is that we don't know which. Either way, it would be batel. And we might have shach. Mutter lechol aide bitu barov im treifahi vaday. Havei v'teila barov. Being shera, He vadai lo garad the ein sarik lebitul. So why the Shari Yosher wants to know, would we ever think that we have to wait to see if it'll lay more eggs? That's not even a matir. That's an indication that it's not a treifa. V'lama nasik adatan shelo liyos muteres b'achila ad she namtin ad she tatil atarnegolus beitzim mechadash. She'inyan ze eino davar hamatir ela simana ba'alma. It's an indicator. Legalos al hadavar meikara to show us what the status was from the beginning. Vagluy azel lech ora lama yazik akshav lecho shema muteresi v'zed davar she'ein lo shachar. This doesn't make sense. By the way, where's the phrase she'ein lo shachar? Anybody know? It's Perkhes in Yeshayahu. Okay. Aval lefi mashe kasavnu. It's right there. Do you have this? Mm-hmm. This is great stuff. Shehu b'safek, ika iser vaday shelo lechol b'shasha davar b'safek, af in kamishmaya galya de davar hamutarhu, oksha anu rotsim lechol beitzes safek treifa al yedei bitul barov, anu matirin iser vaday al yedei bitul. The alha beitza ika akshav iser vadai iser treifa shu suffek iser vadai yoser kishe yutar kishe yisparer hadavar to muteresi v'hayabra ui lomar de chashiv kadavar sheish lo matirin shum hachit sarich harashba lechadesh tamo mitnei she'ein hamatir asid lavo bevadai v'chein nira midivrei hatzemech tzedek shehuva beprimigadim b'pticha lehilchos taruvos. The Rashba then is wholly consistent then, because he maintains that a speka di oraisa is an iser vadai mina dore. He has a haba mina that a suffek beitz estreifa is a davar sheish lamatirin. Therefore, he has to introduce the idea that the matirin are what eliminates it from this category and therefore leads the sugya back to suffek nolda biyoto. Okay? It's a great piece of Torah. Okay? Look it over, see if you have the sources. But where are we? So we have another category along with Beria, Chaticha Ruyelis Gabeva, and Davar Shebeminyan, which falls outside the rubric of Bitul Barov, or in any other proportion. Unlike the categories that we've seen so far, this one doesn't seem to have anything to do with Chashivas. In fact, it seems to be the opposite. Because the Iser is not an Iser Olam, we have the potential to eliminate it entirely. For that reason, why rely on Bitul? Put simply this way, it's no surprise that Rashi on the spot takes the rationale for Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin to be simply a preference for not relying on Bitul when we don't need to. Bitul is somehow suboptimal. The afalgav de midi oraisa, this is Rashi, chad betray batel, dichsiv achari rabim lahatos. Achmor rabbanan hawil v'yeshlo matirin lachar zman lo yochlenu b'isur al yedei Bitul. That's the simplest explanation you can give to Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, right? Let's not rely on Bitul if we can avoid it simply by waiting. Now later we're going to see small interventions, what the Rashba calls actions that are biyado, that also qualify. So as a local perush on the Gemara in Maseches Yom Tov, Rashi's words are effective, right? Okay, seems to make sense. Since on Motzei Yom Tov the egg's going to be Lagamri Mutter, since the Iser Muktzah will be automatically lifted, you don't have to kofel love as a kli. Chazal hechmiru not to permit the egg to be eaten through Bitul while the Iser Muktzah is still in effect. Now, Rashi applies this logic through the entire sugya, explaining why we're machmirim the suffix according to the two Amorim who see Beis Hillel as a gezeira, the Rabban, and Rashi writes.
So what was Beis Hillel Shita, sorry?
What?
Lo
Teichel. Just like we're machmirin by bitul, we're machmirin in sveka drabanan for something which is davar sheyesh lo matirin. So Rashi's local perush works through the entire sugya. Okay? Which brings us to the sugya nedari. You have it there. The Mishnah deals with the flavor of foods prohibited by a neder. Hanoder mina basar. One who makes a neder not to eat meat. Meat is, of course, prohibited to him. The Mishnah tells us, mutar berotev ubekefer. He may eat gravy and the sediment of meat that gathers at the bottom of the pot when meat is cooked. This is meat too, but it is separated from the main piece of meat, which is what he asked upon himself. Okay, that's according to the Tanakhama. For Rabbi Yehuda, Oser. Now, we're going to follow Girsa Saran here and read for Rabbi Yossi, Oser. Rabbi Yehuda has a proof for Rabbi Yossi's daya that anything with the flavor of the food prohibited by a neder is itself asur. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so he's coming to explain Rabbi Yossi, right? Maseh the asar aleinu Rabbi Tarfon the beitzim shenisbash luimo. So eggs were cooked together with meat for somebody who took a neder not to eat meat, right? When they consulted Rabbi Tarfon, he prohibited those eggs to those who had vowed to abstain from meat. Or so the ruling appeared to Rabbi Yehuda. Amrulo, Kena Davar, Emosai. Bizman shi yomar basar ze alai. Shanoder mina davar v'nisarei v'acher im yeshbo v'nosin tam asur. The case was actually a little bit different, the Rabban and the Rabbi Yossi argued. The reason that the flavor of the meat in the eggs was prohibited was because the neder was on a specific piece of meat. When one makes a neder on a specific item, dahinu a noder min hadavar, then the byproducts, the tam, is also asur. If the flavor of that specific piece of meat is perceptible in the eggs, then the eggs fall under the neder. So let's consider the Mishnah very carefully, right? If one cooked a davar, which one prohibited upon himself via neder, then it all depends upon whether the flavor of the neder item is perceptible. In min bimino, then, there's no issue of tam, right? So the din of the Mishnah only applies to min b'shein no mino. Make sense? Everybody with me?
Can you repeat it now?
What?
Can you repeat it one more time?
Okay. You make a neder on a specific
piece of meat.
Then you can't have, the Mishnah is telling us, you can't have the flavor of that meat in something else, of that specific piece of meat in something else.
Would that be the same thing if I make a neder on all meat in
general? No.
So I'm making a neder on all
because
meat.
Because the flavor isn't the meat. Then you made a neder on the meat. Remember the Tanakhama said, if you make on a piece of meat, right, then you're mutter in the rotev and the cake, right?
I think, well, I would make the distinction. If I asser a piece of meat to myself, or I asser all meat to myself, the meat and the time
no,
of the meat.
No, because am I assering meat, the category, in which case I might not be assering the time of meat, right?
Because that's I'm assuming if I make meat in general, I only mean dafka, the actual basar.
Yeah, this reflects the practice in the darim, right? So that they're laying out the practice in the darim. They say, be careful in your lushan of the nether that you make.
So we're going to assume if you're specific, then that specificity will include all aspects of the item.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't want any nether. I don't want any hanoah from this piece of meat. Right? I don't want any hanoah from meat. Right? Different. Okay? It's the din and the dari. Okay? Now.
That therefore makes
a distinction between mean bimino and mean mishay no mino, right? The din of hanoder mina dover would apply only then to mean mishay no mino. Okay, yes, sir.
I was just wondering, when we said a piece of meat, are we talking about can we say I'm ushering all salami, or is it this salami? because then at that point the flavor will be the same from meat to meat.
Yeah. So the distinction is only between category and object. Okay? Just simple. I mean, we're not really learning the Darden here, but that's a simple understanding. Okay? Now, let's remember the other phrase in the Rashba. Something is a davar sheyesh lo matir if it will vadai become mutter after the passage of time or if it's within an easy reach to make it mutter. Anything that becomes prohibited due to a verbal declaration can be annulled by a panel of hedyotos or hachacham. Anybody ever been on such a panel?
Yeah.
Yeah. When?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, okay. Now, that makes nidarim then a davar sheyesh lo matirin, because the easy option of having it annulled at no cost to himself. Right? That's just the definition.
But it doesn't vada follow, though.
Yeah, but we said obiyado. That's why he gave the other phrase. Okay? This feature of nidarim has huge import for us. Min b'shei nomino is talya b'tama, even though it is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Apparently, davar sheyesh lo matirin isn't an issue for min b'shei nomino. Okay? So where is it an issue? Just for min b'mino. And in fact, that accords with the sugya in Beitza, where the egg got mixed up with a bunch of other eggs that are suffek no dabiyota. Where the egg suffek no dabiyota. Can Rashi account for this difference? Remember that Rashi says the reason is davar sheyesh lo matirin isn't batel, is because we're relying on bitul suboptimum, where we don't have to because we can simply wait. Chazal won't permit it. Think about it for a moment. There seems to be no reason why, according to Rashi, it should make a difference whether the Easter becomes mixed in Mino or Shei no Mino, right? He can't account for that difference. Okay? So his Perush, that's why I call it a local Perush, it makes great sense in the Gemara in Beitza, but it does not account for the distinction in the Dari. Everybody with me? Okay. This opens the door to the Ron. The Ron can account for it. I want to explain it outside the sheets first, outside the Mukra. So we focus on the dialectic, then you have the opportunity to read it. Okay? It's on the page there in the Gemara, in the Darim Nun Beis Amud Aleph. That's where you'll find it. In Vayikra, Tess Zion, V'lakach midam hapar u'midam ha-sa'ir, hadavar yadua shedamo shel par merubeh midamo shel sa'ir. V'rabbanan savre mikan le'olin she'ein mevatlin zezeh. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Mikan Lamin Bemino She'eno Batel. The Rabbanan say Olin are, that's why it says the Damasar and the Damapar are mixed, but the Damapar is way more than enough to negate the presence of Damasar. But the Pasuk still says calls it Damapar and Damasar, even though they've been mixed. Answered, Rabbanan say, well, that's because Korbanolos don't, you know, or whatever's Ola on the Beis Hamikdash, on the Mizbeach, isn't Mevatel. They both have the Kedusha of Korbanos. Let's say it simply like that. Okay? On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, here you can see that because they're both Dam, and they're both Dam from animal, Min Bemino Lo Batel. That's Rabbi Yehuda's source for Min Bemino Lo Batel. Two similar things, again, mixed together, aren't Mevatel. Okay? The Ron explains, in order to have bitul, there must be an active act of nullification. And one cannot have an act of nullification where there isn't some opposition between the two items in confrontation. right? To both blood.
Yeah.
That's the active vitul. Just because they mix together is not mevatel in some like philosophical sense or some verbal sense or something. They're both blood. Blood is blood. Right? Might be thicker than water, but it's blood. Okay? So why did the Rabbanan disagree? Because that to them there is opposition. They say there's one kind of opposition that is fine for them. It's a mixture of, in a mixture of min b'mino. One is Isor, and the other is Heter. So for the Rabbanan de Rabbi Yehuda, halachic status is enough of an opposition in order to effect bitul. Stay with me, you will profit. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda insists that the opposition must be physical, that we must be dealing with two distinct physical entities. Legal opposition is not enough. Now, who's the halakha follow? Rabbanan.
Not Rabbi Yehuda, no.
What?
It's not Rabbi Yehuda.
No. These same Rabbanan, the Ran argues, are the ones who are machmirin in Dabar Sheyesh Lo Matir. Why? Because there really isn't halachic opposition. Because the Isur is only contingently Isur. There's only, that is, it's only Usur for a particular time period. Or because we haven't gone to the local Chacham or to a paddle of three Head Yotels. There's nothing essential in the Isur to differentiate it from the Heter. Ironically, it's the weakness of the Isur, the contingent nature of it, the fact that it isn't an Isur Olam that prohibits the Bitul. Right? It's less, because it's less Machmir, because sorry, it's less Chamur, we're more Machmir. Get it?
Because it's closer to the Heter, it won't be bottled.
Yeah.
It's not enough to clash.
Right. The Ran accounts for this difference in the Darim. Rashi does not. That is the essence of the Siman on Dabar Sheyesh Lo Matir. Now, there are three possibilities. Okay. The halacha is like the Ran. The halacha is like Rashi. Or the halacha is like both. Take a guess.
Three. Number three.
Correct. Okay. Now, what we need to understand is what the nafgamina between the two shitos is. And that you'll find in the Prima Gadim on our Siman. Okay? That's our final piece that we need to do with reference also to, we're going to look at in Or Chaim, Shemen Zayis for Chanukah that was Chuktzeh LeMitzvah, whether that's a Dabar Sheyesh Lo Matir. Okay? We're going to look at that. Okay, we're going to look at Chametz BePesach and try to figure out what its characteristic as a Dabar Sheyesh Lo Matir is. That we will do in 2 weeks, not next week. At the same time, we will do, unless we wanted to mention that there's a problem here next 2 weeks.
March.
Yeah. The next time that we do meet, we will finish Dabar Sheyesh Lo Matir. We're going to do Nosei Kelim. We're going to do the Prima Gadim. We're going to do the Shach and whatever. And then we're going to do Nosei Tam Lif Gam in one sitting. But that's a big, big inyan. Okay? After that, we do one thing. We go to the Aruch HaShulchan for Kufay because I want to learn one Siman in the Aruch HaShulchan. You know, that you should know the Aruch HaShulchan as a Sefer. So we're going to learn Kufay through the Aruch HaShulchan, right? And then we go to Basar B'Chalav.
Okay.
Okay.
Rami, do you Sveika?
Yeah, we are, but we're going to do it at the end after Basar B'Cholav because a lot of the examples are from Basar B'Cholav. We're going to do Basar B'Cholav first, and then we're going to do Recha Milsahi, God willing. That's, but I want to do that even though it's in Taruva, so I want to do it after Basar B'Cholav because it's a Basar B'Cholav Inyan also. We're going to do Recha Milsahi and Zeya, right? And, you know, putting things in the, you know, it's putting things in the oven, what, where do we get the din of double wrapping, you know, and that kind of thing, etc. And we'll know not only the halachic background conceptually, but we'll see some of the dinim to it. And then we double back and we end up with that and a couple of shirim and malicha. Okay?
That's your shalom.
Okay, so you can, we're done. Yeah, that's in Basar B'Cholav.
So later on.
That's why I want to get to all that.